Amen. You know, I was counting on you nailing that song. That's all I got to say. Title of today's message is God Really Loves Us. Yeah. Okay? And that was before you finished it. But as my brother said, see, there, God's love is immeasurable. It is steadfast, it is unchanging, it is consistent, and it is dependable. No matter what you've done, okay, or what you haven't done for God, God really loves us. Proverbs, or Psalms 103. Go to Psalms 103 first. Psalm 103. This is David speaking, but he starts out for himself and then he carries it over to us. So you got to listen to that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems you from destruction, and destruction is death, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Holy Spirit. Like David, we are to bless the Lord with our entire being. Amen. To bless the Lord is to remember that he is the source of all our blessings. Forgiveness of iniquities, healing our diseases, yes. Redeeming us from death.
Yes.
Okay? Redeems you from poverty.
Amen.
He's Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah.
Okay? Amen. You imagine there's so many benefits here that we don't even realize. He's the God who is more than enough. He is El Shaddai.
Yes.
Now, when you drop down to verse 11 there, and it says, for his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. Immeasurable. That's what that is. His love, his unfailing love is immeasurable. Meaning that something by its very nature is beyond our ability to ever measure it. Verse 12, he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. Let that sink in for a minute. If you go west, where are you going to go? West. You're just going to keep going west. You're never going to hit east. Think about it. That's how far he's removed your iniquities from you. Verse 13. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. That's reverence. It's not talking about being afraid of him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. The fact that God remembers who we are and how he made us is another mark of his mercies. For we are dust. That took me in a direction that I didn't realize, but it opened my eyes. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Animals is animals.
Yeah.
We are human beings. It's a difference. Okay? I didn't come from no monkey.
Yeah.
And neither did any of you.
That's right.
These animals were beings. God breathed his life, his breath of life into us. God formed each element of creation with his word. He said it, and it was. But God specifically formed Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Think about this for a moment. That means humanity is made from a combination of earth and life and the life-giving breath of God himself. So when you're taking a deep breath, you're taking, that's the breath of God.
Amen.
Don't try to figure it out. See, that's a problem right now. A lot of you just went, okay, I don't understand that. I'm breathing oxygen. Well, when you come out of the womb, that first breath you take, that's a breath from God.
Yeah.
Every baby takes that breath. That's a breath from God.
Yeah.
The glory of God is found in his breath in us. While being made from the dust of the earth, that is a reminder of our lowliness and our dependence on him. Now, after Adam sinned, though, God informed him that he will toil the earth his entire life. He said it will be frustrating and it will be difficult. Well, thank you, Adam.
Yeah.
Okay. And ultimately, Adam's lifelong work would end in death, and he would return back to the dust from which he was created. Genesis chapter 3, verse 19 says this, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." God's declaration to Adam that to dust you shall return is final. And it gave Adam a continual awareness that one day he would die physically. Death was the final consequence of Adam's choice to sin. See, it was a choice. He did not make a good choice. The curse of death that came to Adam was imparted to all humans who have lived since. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the New Life Version. Okay, you're not going to find it. I don't think you have the New Life Version there, Dean. New Life Version says, "This is what happened. Sin came into the world by one man, comma, Adam. Sin brought death with it. Death spread to all men because all have sinned." Because of Adam, sin entered the world. All were condemned because of his sin, and death came to all humanity. The reality that to dust you shall return is for everybody. Everyone. But for those who confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, though, the curse of death was defeated. It was defeated on the cross upon a hill called Calvary. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, We're going to start reading at verse 1. At one time, you were dead because of your sins. You followed the sinful ways of the world and obeyed the leader of the power of darkness. He is the devil who is now working in the people who do not obey God. At one time, all of us lived to please our old selves. We gave into what our bodies and minds wanted. We were sinful from birth, like all other people, and would suffer from the anger of God. But God had so much loving kindness. He loved us with such a great love, even when we were dead because of our sins. He made us alive by what Christ did for us. You have been saved from the punishment of sin by his loving favor. That is grace. God raised us up from death when he raised up Christ Jesus. He has given us a place with Christ in the heavens. He did this to show us through all the time to come the great riches of his loving Father. He has shown us his kindness through Christ Jesus. For by his loving favor, you have been saved from the punishment of sin through faith. It is not by anything you have done. It is a gift of God. It is not given to you because you work for it. If you could work for it, you would be proud. We are his work. He has come and made us to belong to Christ Jesus so we can work for him. He planned that we should do this. See, rather than fear death, we have an assurance of eternity with Jesus, life forever. That's what fuels the way we live, or should. The certainty that to dust you shall return should humble us to diligently seek and follow God. Jesus really loves us, and God really loves us. God loves us and has compassion on us and forgiveness. He forgives us because he knows us. His knowledge of us doesn't repulse him. His knowledge of us doesn't forever terminate his blessings, praise God. His knowledge of us is, in some sense, the reason or explanation why he chooses to be loving and forgiving and compassionate. God knows each and every one of us. Yeah, he does. In Psalm 139, on 139, verses 15 and 16, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Every day of our lives is recorded in his book, meaning our lives and the structure and meaning of our lives are all established from the beginning by God. Now, here's some words, what the Bible says about babies before they are born. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb. You know, when he formed Dean, he knew him. He knew him. He knew his name was going to be Dean. Junior. He knew that. When he formed you and you came out, he don't make mistakes. You came out a boy, a little baby boy. Your queen. When you were born, he knew your name. He knew you before you come out. He knew that was going to be your name before you ever come out of your mom's womb. Realize that? He knew you were going to be a girl too. He don't make mistakes. All those that we know are talking about the Chan-Jezerism. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Okay. I knew that was going to happen too. But, you know, they can say all they want about that, but see, it's not true. If you come out a boy, you're a boy. There's no changing it. You come out a girl, you're a girl. There's no changing it. All right? So they have no basis for that. But see, this goes back to a spiritual thing. This goes back to a spirit. Enchantress. The spirit of enchantress. You think about that. You go back and you look it up, and this goes way back. And she was actually a person at one time. But it was a spirit that she was. But she said that she could change a man into a woman and a woman into a man. And she would try to do it, as we know it nowadays, with mutilation. It didn't work back then. And that spirit has been going on. So that's one of the spirits we have to attack. The battles are being fought. Now you've got a name. And it's a spirit. We have to take it. Just like the spirit of Jezebel. We talk about the spirit of Jezebel all the time. Enchantress. Enchantress. Okay. Okay. It says, before you were born, I set you apart. That's words he said in the Bible. About the children. Children are a gift from the Lord. Amen. They are a reward from him. Our children are gifts. Amen. They're a reward for us. Okay? And our grandchildren, they're a gift.
Amen.
They are a gift. And they are a reward from him. They are a reward for him. And before they were born, they were set apart by him. It is so important to train up a child in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from the way. And if your children are going the wrong direction and they've been brought up and trained, they only got so much of a leader to go on. And then God just goes, yanks. God's not letting go of them.
Amen.
You just keep praying for them. And don't speak negative things over them. You keep calling them back and keep believing and saying those things. The words of our mouths are very powerful. But when you think about that, that means we're a gift. And we're a reward. Think about that. And he knew us. God loves us. God loves us. In Romans chapter 9, Verse 28 of the Message Bible says, God doesn't count us. He calls us by name. That's who he calls us by name. Arithmetic is not his focus. See, you are. Max, Valerie, calls you by name. Dave, Debbie, calling you guys by name. Tabby, TJ, calls you by name. You think about that. He calls you by name. Mel, Lydia, calls you by name. Yes, he does. You think about that. He wants to make it that personal. You hear that, Denise? Call you by name. You, Jackie, calling you by name. You know, just got to stop and think about that for a second. He wants that relationship with you so bad. He does. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Paul writes this in a New Life Version. I pray that you will be able to understand how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. I pray that you will know the love of Christ. His love goes beyond anything we can understand. I pray that you will be filled with God himself. A pretty awesome prayer for us. To be filled with God is to be filled with his love, because God is love. Yes. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 10 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. Here it is. For God is love. Mm-hmm. What is God?
Love.
And what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Oh, you better believe it. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. First time I ever heard that word, heard it from Pastor Barkley. I'll never forget that. And he didn't know what it was when he kept saying propitiation. Propitiation. But in Romans chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Propitiation. Very simple. Atonement. Make a difference? Atonement. Jesus is our sacrifice of atonement. He died in our place for our sins. God declared Jesus' death on a cross to be the appropriate designated sacrifice for our sin. Christ then stands in our place, having paid the penalty of death for our own sin. And he completely satisfies God's demands. His sacrifice brings us pardon, brings us deliverance, and brings us freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God really loves us.
Yes, he does.
God's love is total. It reaches every corner of our experience. It is wide. It covers the breadth of our own experience, and it reaches out to the whole world. God's love is long. It continues the length of our lives. It is high. It rises to the heights of our celebration and our elation. His love is deep. It reaches the depths of our discouragement, our despair, and even death. When we are feeling hurt, shut out, and isolated, remember, we can never be lost to God's love. Never. Paul writes in Romans 8, 38, 39, Amplified Classic, "For I am persuaded, beyond doubt, am sure, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Amen.
Whew!
Amen.
That's powerful. No matter what happens to us, no matter where we are, we can never be lost to God's love. Suffering should never drive us away from God, but help us to identify with Him further and allow Him to reach us and to heal us. See, these scriptures tell us there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. His death for us is proof of His unconquerable love. I love that. Unconquerable love. And what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Everything. Nothing can stop Christ's presence with us. God tells us how great His love is so that we will feel totally secure in Him. If we believe these overwhelming assurances, we will not be afraid. We will not be afraid. Faith, hope, and love. And which one is number one?
Love.
Love is the most powerful thing going for us. Love. That's why Jesus talks about love all the time. Love one another. And you can't love one another if you're holding something in. If you're holding unforgiveness, you're upset with somebody, they may not even know what they've done or said to you. You know, see, these are things that tell you. That's where your love walk comes in. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37 there, though, says, "We are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through Him who loves us." So say this with me. Say, "I am more than a conqueror,
I am more than a conqueror,
and gain a surpassing victory,
and gain a surpassing victory
through Him,
who loved me.
This is how you say it. Me. You change it to me.
Yes.
God really loves us. But say, God really loves me.
God really loves me.
Boy, I think Dean got it better. God really loves me. Come on. That's right. He does. Amen. The fullness of God is fully expressed only in Jesus Christ. In union with Jesus and through His empowering Spirit, we are complete. We have all the fullness of God available to us. But we must appropriate the fullness through faith and prayer as we daily live for Him. We can ask Holy Spirit to fill every aspect of our life to the fullest. We can, with confidence, and it will be done. Now, that song that they sang this morning, "God Really Loves Us," says, "I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend. And he is my strength. He is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. He's with you in the valley. He's with you in the fire. He's with you in the storm. You're going to get through it. Your boat's not going to sink. Jesus is on board. And he's probably laying there, got his head on a pillow waiting for you to say, are you coming? Come on, lay with me. We're going to take this boat to the other side. And you watch the sunshine come up. Because your victory's coming. Your healing's coming. Your financial breakthrough is coming. It is coming. Relationships are coming back. They're being healed. And they're being healed because you're believing and you're asking God to bring that healing. And he will. He'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen your family members. He'll strengthen your sons, your daughters. He'll bring them back. Bring them back what they had when they were little children, how you couldn't separate them. He can do that. We just simply must believe. And we must pray for them. See, but we have a friend who's closer than a brother. Because in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, this is the Living Bible. There are friends who pretend to be friends, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It's talking about Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. So we all need friends who stick close, listen, care, and help when it is needed. In the good times and in the bad times. It's better to have one such friend than dozens of superficial acquaintances. In John chapter 15, 11 through 15, the Message Bible, Jesus is speaking. Listen carefully to him. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. A friend knows what is happening because friends develop a deep relationship by communicating with one another. You got to communicate with the Father. Because Jesus is Lord and Master, he should call us servants. Yet instead, he calls us friends. Amen. That, to me, is so comforting and reassuring. That he has chosen. Christ has chosen to call me his friend. And he's doing the same thing. He's calling you his friend. No matter what. That's right. No matter what. And because he is Lord and Master, we owe him our unqualified obedience. I got to let that one sink in for a minute. But most of all, Jesus asked us to obey him because we love him. The level of one's obedience is a level of one's love for Christ. I'm just giving you what the Holy Ghost gave me. Jesus made the first choice to love and to die for us and to invite us to live with him forever. We make the next choice to accept or reject his offer. Without his choice, we would have no choice. God really loves us.
Yeah.
Got to remember that. A memorial is something that keeps remembrance alive. As remembering someone's life and what they have accomplished for mankind. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. Very familiar because we're going to do this in a little bit. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. This is about talking about the Lord's Supper, our communion, which we're going to do. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now comes the next part. This is the part of self-examination. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Let me start it again. But let a man and a woman examine themselves. And so let him eat, and let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink in an unworthy manner eat and drink judgment to himself or herself, not discerning the Lord's body. Wow. Let's continue here. What does the Lord's Supper mean? See, the early church remembered that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper on the night of the Passover meal. Just as the Passover celebration was the deliverance of them from slavery in Egypt, so the Lord's Supper celebrates deliverance from sin by Christ's death. The bread and juice we use symbolize Jesus' broken body and his shed blood. Participation in communion is an important element in our faith and that Jesus' presence. However, we understand it strengthens us spiritually. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." What is the new covenant? In the Old Covenant, people could not approach God only through the priest and the sacrificial system. Jesus' death on a cross ushered in the New Covenant, restoring our relationship with God. Now, we can personally approach God and talk to him. He wants to hear from you. Talk to him. Well, I don't know if I can. Talk to him. Whatever is on your mind that's bothering you and bugging you, I'm just telling you, talk to him. I'm trying to make it simple for you. Talk to him. He wants to hear from you. He can give you some great advice. Amen. Remember that new covenant completes rather than replaces the old covenant by fulfilling everything the old covenant looked forward to. Eating and drinking the cups shows that we are remembering Christ's death for us and renewing our commitment to serve him. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." How do we remember Jesus in communion? By thinking about what he did and why he did it. To what he did, and then greater, why he did it. Amen. We wouldn't be here. If communion becomes just a ritual for you, done on the last Sunday of the month, it no longer remembers Jesus and it loses significance. We should take communion thoughtfully because we are proclaiming that Jesus died for us. We should take it worthily with due reverence and respect. We should examine ourselves for any unconfessed sin or resentful attitude. Come on up, group. We are to properly prepare based in our belief and love for Jesus. God really loves us. Amen. Amen.